Amen. The portion of scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 19, beginning with the 11th verse. Dear friends in Christ, before Jesus left to go to heaven, he told his disciples what they should do while he was away. All four Gospels record these instructions that the Lord gave to his disciples at the end of the Gospels. Perhaps the most well-known of these instructions is what we call the Great Commission, recorded by Matthew at the end of his Gospel. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. It wasn't long after Jesus told his disciples, maybe about a week or so, that Jesus ascended into heaven. As the disciples were looking up into the sky, angels came down from heaven and said that Jesus would return one day in the same way he came in the clouds of heaven, and he's going to come to judge the world. We know that the basis of that judgment is simple. Those who believe will be saved and taken to eternal glory, and those who don't believe will be sent down to suffer with the devil forever in hell. Of course, we don't know when Christ is going to return. He can return at any moment. He could come later today. He could come in a year. He could come in 1,000 years. So we must be ready for his return. And as we wait for his return, we have jobs to do. The disciples were the leaders of the church. So what God told the disciples, what Jesus told the disciples to do while he was gone, is what he tells us to do. Us as a church, us as individual members of the Holy Christian Church. The job that we are to do is to make disciples of all nations. And we make disciples of all nations by two ways. By baptizing the name of the triune God and teaching everything found in God's Word. Simple instructions. Straight and to the point. Not so easy to do. Requires a lot of time, effort, money. To go and make disciples of all nations means that the gospel needs to spread throughout the world. It means that we need people willing to go throughout the world to spread the gospel. People who know God's word well enough to teach it to others. People who are able to study languages and speak God's word in other languages. It needs time, money, effort. God doesn't want anyone to be condemned. He wants everyone to hear the gospel. He wants everyone to come to the knowledge of the truth and thus be saved. And so God gives us gifts and abilities. He blesses us with many different things that help us to spread the gospel ourselves or that enable us to help spread the gospel throughout the world so that we can do our job. Jesus told our parable for today, the parable of the 10 minas. He told it right after he visited with Zacchaeus, a nobleman was going away for a long time to a distant country to be proclaimed king. And then he was going to return. But before he left, he called together 10 of his servants and he gave each of his servants a mina. Now, a mina was a Greek form of currency that was roughly the amount of 100 days' wages of a common laborer. So to put it in today's money, we can roughly say that a mina was worth about $10,000. So he gave 10 of his servants each $10,000, and he said, "Put this money to work until I come back." No, he doesn't tell them exactly what to do with this money. Do business with it. Buy, sell, trade. Do whatever you have to do. Put this gift to work. Put this money to good use to make more money. Eventually, the nobleman returned as king. He called together his 10 servants. The first servant had made 10 more minas, $100,000. Well done, he said. You'll be in charge of 10 cities. The second servant had made 5 minas, $50,000. You're in charge of 5 cities. And then another servant came. What did he do with the money? Nothing. He was afraid that his master was a harsh man, so he didn't do anything with it. He kept it hidden away in a piece of cloth. He didn't even put it in the bank to collect interest from the money. This servant wasn't faithful in the least to the gift that his master had given him, and his master said that he was going to be judged accordingly. In this parable, Jesus is the nobleman. Jesus is the master who goes away. Jesus went away at his ascension. The master comes back as king over the land. Jesus, when he returns from the clouds of heaven, will come back as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's going to come to judge the living and the dead. The master gave gifts to his servants before he left, and a job to do. When Jesus left, he gave this church a job to do, and he gives us gifts and abilities to help us do that job. Now we see in this parable that Jesus gave each servant a mina. Each he gave the same gift. A few days later, during Holy Week, Matthew records Jesus saying almost the exact same parable with a little differences. We call that parable the parable of the talents. And in the parable of the talents, Jesus gave 3 different servants each a different amount of money. We all have different gifts and abilities. Jesus gave different talents to those servants in Matthew's parable. But you can say the sum total of all the gifts and abilities we have is equal. Jesus gave each servant a mina. Our job is to spread the gospel, which is no small task. To spread the gospel throughout the world is not easy. So God gives us abundant blessings. He gives us gifts and abilities to spread that gospel and to help support the spread of that gospel. And the gifts and abilities he has given to us is unique to each and every one of us. Someone might be good with teaching God's word to young children. Other people are better in dealing with the elderly. Some people know God's word well enough and can teach it to anyone and can preach. Others are enthusiastic and can't help but telling other people about Jesus. Some are people persons. They can relate and communicate with anyone and always have a smile on their face, and other people would rather work behind the scenes, out of the limelight. Some people are good at working with their hands, fixing things up or mowing or cleaning and so on. Other people are good with their minds. They can work with money and organizational skills. Some are administrators. Some are doers. Some are willing to go to a distant country on the other side of the world and tell complete strangers about their Savior and even risk their lives, while others are more comfortable telling their friends and family, people they've known for a long time, about their Savior. The point is, we all have different gifts and abilities. And those gifts and abilities work well together. But someone is good at, someone else may not be so good at. What you excel at, maybe that's where someone doesn't excel. But we all have different gifts and abilities. And no matter what gifts and abilities you have, whether you have a lot in this life, whether you have a lot of money or you don't have a lot of money, whether you have abilities to share His word or don't, There are many things that we can use in our lives to help spread the gospel. Paul says in Romans 12, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. And if it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. So we have different gifts and abilities, and we want to use those gifts and abilities in a way that honors God and serves the gospel. Now we often look at ourselves, or we want to be those first two servants, those who are faithful to the use of God's blessings. But if we're honest with ourselves, there are many times that we were like that third servant, that wicked and lazy servant. And we make excuses like him too. We come up with a whole sort of excuses as why we're not faithful to the blessings God has given us. I just don't have the time, we say. Oh, I'd like to volunteer. I'd like to help out at the church more, but I just simply have too many things to do. Maybe you're afraid to spread the gospel. I just don't want to anger anybody. I don't want to alienate my friends or tick off my relatives. I find it easier for me just to keep my mouth shut and not talk to others about my Savior. We don't see the gifts and abilities that God has given us. Oh, God hasn't blessed me with much. I really can't do anything. I don't see how the blessings God has given me can really help the church at all. Or I just don't want to mess it up. I don't want to say anything. I'm not sure what to say. I don't want to say something wrong and make things worse. So it's better if I just don't do anything at all. Or maybe we don't even bother to make excuses. That's my money. I worked hard for it. I saved it. That's my gifts and abilities that earn that money. And I can do with it what I want. And I want to save up to buy that new expensive car, or I want to buy that new gadget, and I'm going to do with it as I please. Whether we make excuses or not, and whatever excuses we do make, in the end, they're just excuses. In the end, we're doing just as that wicked, lazy servant did. And he was judged accordingly. And we don't put our gifts and abilities to work. It's the gospel that suffers. It's the church that suffers. But instead of focusing on the negative example of that third servant, let's look at the positive example of those first two servants. There's no fear from those first two servants of their master. No whining or complaining that God had given them a job to do or complaining about the gifts or lack of gifts that they had been given to do that job. You can imagine their excitement that they had been given this blessing, that they have been given this gift from God, an excitement to prove their faithfulness to their master. Now, these past 3 weeks, we have been talking about all the blessings God gives us and the thankfulness we have because of those blessings. Now, God has blessed us richly. He has given us many physical blessings. He has given us all we need to live and to survive. But then on top of that, He has given us many extra things that we don't need, that we don't need to survive, but He gives them to us anyway. Even the poorest people in America are rich by the world's standards. On top of that, He has given us friends who care for us, family members who love us, others who guard us and protect us, a government that watches over us and protects us against our enemies, many other blessings on earth that He gives us. The most important of all, and worth more than any other gift He has given us, far more important than anything else, is the gift of salvation. Is a gift of His holy, precious blood that He shed on the cross to pay for our sins. is his perfect life. The righteousness that he lived was credited to us as he died and suffered for our eternal damnation. The gift of eternal life which he won for us 3 days after his death when he rose from the dead and crushed Satan's head. Long before the creation of the world, God chose you to be saved. So he brought people into your lives, whoever it was, who shared the gospel with you, who brought you to the baptismal font, who worked and that through that gospel, the Holy Spirit worked faith into your hearts, and through that faith, you receive all the blessings that Christ has won for you. And he has kept you in that one true faith through that same gospel. Because of all these blessings God has given us, and so much more, we are filled with overwhelming generosity, gratitude, and thankfulness. And thankfulness leads to faithfulness. That's how we show that we are thankful to the Lord, by being faithful to the gifts and abilities God has given us, like those two faithful servants. Like those who share the gospel with us, let us use our gifts and abilities to the honor of glory of God and for the spread of his gospel. Let's do all we can to spread the gospel ourselves and to support the spread of the gospel. Will we always be like those first two servants? No. There are times, and many times, we'll be like that third, wicked and lazy servant. But that's why Christ came in the first place, to forgive us from all our sins. And it is that forgiveness that we use as motivation for being faithful to him. To use whatever gifts and abilities God has given us to his glory to spread the gospel. And no matter where you are in life, no matter if you have a lot of gifts or few gifts, no matter what your abilities are, there are many things that we can find to help support the spread of the gospel and to tell others about Jesus ourselves. And no matter what, there are two things all of us can do to do that. All of us can speak. All of us know who Jesus is. So all of us then can tell other people about Jesus, about the world's one and only Savior. The other thing all of us can do is pray. Pray for the spread of the gospel. Pray that other people may hear the gospel and the Holy Spirit may work faith into their hearts. God will always bless those two things. He will always give a positive answer to those prayers. Soon, our Savior Jesus Christ will come as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What will our master find when he returns? Faithful servants or unfaithful and lazy servants? There are many times when we fail to use our minds in a way that pleases God. But that's why Christ came the first time, to save us from our sins and give us his perfect life. Therefore, let us use his forgiveness as motivation. Let us use our gifts and abilities to do our job to support the job of the church. To support the spread of the gospel. The message of free and full forgiveness in Christ. Let us do our jobs so the Holy Spirit can work through us and bring many more people to faith, that they may believe and join us in singing the praises of our King of Kings forever in heaven. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.